We're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in the heavens. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So the gospel is summarized by Jesus in a sentence. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. That's Jesus' lead everywhere he went according to the gospels. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. Now the word repent in Greek, which Jesus probably didn't speak in Greek, but that's the way that the Gospels have come to us because it was the language of the day, means, it's metanoia, it means to change your mind. Repent means change your mind, change your thinking. In the Hebrew that underlies that, there are two words for repentance. One means change your heart. The other one means turn around. Essentially what Jesus is saying is you're going in the wrong direction. It's one thing, though, to say that, and another thing to know where to turn. Now, the church is under the impression sometimes in history that God would never bless things that weren't admirable. So there's been a lot of ink spilled over the last 1,000 years or so, trying to figure out how these Beatitudes might be read as positive character traits. And you've got to do some work to make some of these things positive. And people will do that work. They're happy to do that work, but I think they're missing the point. Essentially, what Jesus is saying right here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is this. If you're of those people that the world has not worked very well for you, that what it takes to make it in this place, that's you don't seem to have it. If that's you, good news, because a new king is coming. But if you've navigated the ladder pretty well and you've achieved quite an amount of success in this world and you've risen to the top in some ways, well, guess what? Bad news! You've learned all the wrong lessons. The Bible is not about helping you to achieve in this world. The ethics that Jesus is trying to teach are rooted in another place. And so Jesus begins his sermon and aims it at people who know this world is broken and want a different one. My first point was you can't get there from here. Look at your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, spirit is the energizing force in the world. It is the energy of life. The scriptures tell us that when humanity was first created, we were dust. And God breathed into the dust the breath of life, and we got up and we walked around. So spirit is the animating force within us, which means if you're poor in spirit, what are you? You got no get up and go. You're listless. Jesus is saying, blessed are you. If the way the world is currently structured and the way things have to work in this world has just sapped you of all your energy, blessed are you because a kingdom is coming that will fulfill the source of that disquiet in your heart. Because a kingdom is coming that you will find energy to live in. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. If the world has broken you and the only response you can give is to weep, blessed are you because a kingdom is coming which your mourning will be turned. Blessed are the meek. This word in Greek is usually used of animals that have been tamed. Blessed are the meek. Meek. Meekness doesn't really benefit you in this world. If you're not ambitious, if you're not going to walk into a difficult situation and take the lead, if you're not going to stand up confidently and put your shoulders back, if you're not going to have some belief in yourself, if you're not going to dig in and believe you can solve that problem that your job or your family is presenting to you, if you don't have that kind of grab the bull by the horns and take, you're not going anywhere in this world. You know it. Meekness is not a benefit. If you like to be the person that kind of sits in the back of the room and isn't noticed, if you like to keep your head down and never show your worth, if that's who you are, if you've been tamed, if you've been subjugated, well, you know, you might have a decent enough life, but nobody's going to hire you as CEO of the board. Meekness is not a benefit in this world, but there's a kingdom that's coming where that very attitude of meekness will be exactly the character God's looking for. Blessed are you if nobody notices you. Because the attitude that keeps you from seizing life is the very attitude God is looking for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, an interesting thing has happened in the translation of the Greek language. We seem to put righteousness anywhere we don't want to deal with justice. But the word in Greek is dikaiosune. There's only one word in Greek for righteousness and for justice. It's the same. So this verse says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, just like blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's unfairness all over our lives, and we want fairness. You have it from the time kids, the first thing I hear from my daughter, every rule I've ever made, that's not fair. I mean, you have a sense of it, and you hunger for justice, for rightness. We all want to be judged. We don't want to be condemned. There's a part of the desire to be judged that's a desire for justice. But those who hunger and thirst for justice in this world are irritating. We call them whiners. But believe me, if you're ever falsely accused, you'll hunger and thirst for it too. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are those who are looking for a kingdom where the right thing will be done the right way every single time. Blessed are you because a kingdom is coming. Blessed are the merciful. Well, that sounds like a positive character trait. People want mercy shown to them, but we don't want any mercy shown to our enemies. Blessed are the merciful. The merciful are doormats. They're weak. They keep forgiving people. They let people get away with it. They don't make people pay for their crimes. We don't like the merciful. The merciful are ruining the world. We call them bleeding hearts. But Jesus is telling us, I know, mercy doesn't work in this world because there's a lot of evil people and a lot of wickedness and it has to be restrained. Mercy doesn't work, but a kingdom is coming where the merciful will be blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. This sounds good too. Wouldn't having a pure heart, pure motivations benefit you in this world? Well, to a point. But anyone who's ever achieved greatness in this world has found that you have to compromise a few things to get there. And if your eye is on the end, you might compromise a few things along the way to get to that good end, right? If your first goal is to keep your heart pure and your motives pure, your first goal is to never compromise the values of God, no matter the consequences in your life, the odds are that very few of you will achieve anything great in this world. Because the world is bent in such a way that to achieve in it, you're going to have to compromise your values. It's the only way it works consistently over time. You're going to have to decide, we say it, which battles to face, which hills are worth dying on. If you're one of the ones who think all the hills are worth dying on, well, blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus says. I know it doesn't work in this world, but there's a kingdom that's coming where it will work. Blessed are the peacemakers. And you might think, well, we like peacemakers, right? We like people who are going to bridge the gap and bring people together and write treaties. That's what we need in our world. We need more peacemakers, and that might be true. But if any of you were ever in a little scuffle on the playground and somebody stepped in to try and stop you from fighting, what happens to the peacemaker? Peacemaker becomes both people's enemy, right? Peacemakers are not appreciated in the world. They often make peace at the cost of their own integrity, at the cost of their own value in society. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when you're punished for the sake of justice. Blessed are you when you are made an example to make others afraid. Blessed are you. That's not a blessing. Blessed are those who are insulted or persecuted or maligned simply because of their submission to Jesus' teachings. Blessed are you when you're called a do-gooder, when you're called weak, when you're called cowardly. But what Jesus is beginning to say is, if you think what I'm about to teach you in this message of the kingdom are values that are going to make your life in this world easier, you've got another thing coming. Because the values of this kingdom are from another kingdom. And they will prepare you for the kingdom that's coming, but they will not help you in the kingdom that is. This world is designed from its structures to its businesses to its social relationships to its communities to its neighborhoods to its family relationships. This whole world is built in such a way that you will pay a high price for following Jesus. That's the way it's designed. The enemy, I don't know why God has given him this kind of, but we've collaborated with him, so it's probably as much our fault as anything. But the world has been built in such a way that if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to pay a very high price for that decision. You're going to have to. And if your desire is to achieve in this world, if that's the aim of your life, Jesus is telling you, you will not be able to follow me. At some point, the two will come in conflict, and you'll have to decide which is more important, success or Jesus? Admiration or Jesus? Ambition or Jesus? At some point, and it's different for all of us, the two will come in conflict, and you will have to choose. And at that moment, you will have re-entered the Garden of Eden, and there will be two trees in front of you. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And if you decide to survive, you will not get that from Jesus. You will get it from the tree of knowledge. The life Jesus offers comes only by death. The life Jesus offers comes only by letting go of the desire to achieve. What Jesus is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount is he is liberating you from having to have your eye on the ends. Jesus liberates you and me from having to fix the world. Jesus liberates you and me from having to fix the world. The ends are in God's hands. Jesus says that it does not matter what you build, it matters how you build it. It does not matter what you have to show for yourself, what matters is how you got there. You have been freed to sacrifice the ends for the means. If you can let go of where this is headed and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, then we can be the people he wants us to be. And it's not going to work, church. It's not going to make the church bigger. It's not going to make you more powerful. It's not going to solve world hunger. It's not going to solve poverty. It's not going to solve social injustice. This world is broken. You can't fix it. But what you can do is live different in it and leave the results to God. You cannot look to the outcome of your behavior. If you want to follow Jesus, you just have to do what Jesus asks right now, no matter the consequence. If we can't get that church, we can never be who he wants us to be. And this is why he begins by saying, who this is good news for? The depressed, the sad, and the broken. Those who are not being fairly treated, those who are not respected, those who don't have the ambition to grab life by the horns. This is good news for them. When they hear it, they'll run to Jesus because they want a new world. This world doesn't work for them. But you know who it's bad news for? The Pharisees and the rich young ruler and the people who pretty much achieve stuff in this world and they just want to know how to achieve better. That is not good news for you because you've learned how to navigate a broken system, a system that's godless, and you've learned how to navigate it. Repent. It's time to turn around. Because if you're looking in the direction of power, ambition, success, achievement, if you're looking in that direction, you will not see the kingdom when it comes. Because that is not the way to Jesus. If we're going to be the people God wants us to be, we have to get this straight. If the world has eaten you up, a kingdom is coming that is going to be oriented differently, so it's good news for you. If the world has been good to you, I'm sorry, following Jesus is going to cost you more than it will the broken. That's what Jesus is saying. Following God when you've done well is much harder than following God when you've done poorly. That's really how he's begun the sermon. But a kingdom is coming. It doesn't matter if you want it to come. It is coming. And let me tell you the values of that kingdom and what it looks like to navigate your way in that kingdom. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we're going to be studying for these next few weeks. But today, all I can say is repent, church, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And we've been looking in the wrong direction.